तमाम सुत्राय कृष्ण सुत्राय विष्णे श्रीमती भक्ति प्रधान सच्चारणी सामने जानो से सरस्वती गति गौरवाणी सच्चारणी मेरे से सन्य वारी फटकाती जय सच्चारणी ओम अज्ञान चमनंद सच्चार जना जना सलाकाया सत्कृत वलचान जैन थर्स्वाय श्री गौरवाणी नमः श्री चैतन्य मनोविस्तार सपिशम जन उत्तर है इस टाइम पतदा मायम सदस्य सावधान विस्तार वन से कपल छुट जैसे शाक रूप से नहीं जाए बचा अधिक जनों का पाल में जो मशीन जो नोरा Who remembers what we were reading? The last class, which was quite a long time ago, this Bhagavatam series. Do you remember? You can't remember because you were in Mauritius. Huh? Putana? Yes, that was not the last class, but it was.
Gagamuni was giving.
Yes. Gagamuni gave his reading about Krishna's characteristics, his future characteristics. This boy was so wonderful. And anyone attached to Krishna, your boy, is very fortunate and cannot be defeated by any enemies. Because, specifically, because they have affection for Krishna. So many things that Gagamuni said. He comes, Krishna comes. Yada yada hidamasya glaniya bhavati bharata. He comes whenever there is a decline of religiosity, of religious principles, and a rise of. Whoops. It's too hot. You can't even touch it. Something in between. Balance is very difficult to attain in this world. So Nanda Maharaj and all and the other presidents of Vrindavan, they thought themselves so fortunate to have such a wonderful son, wonderful little boy, Krishna, in their community. So text 21. The next text. Kalena Vrajatalpena Gokule Ramakeshava Janubhyam sa panibhyam ringamano yajaratu. Now this section that we're going to hear today and for the next half, perhaps tomorrow as well, describes the childhood pastimes of Krishna, when Krishna is just growing up a little bit. We've heard how he's taken his birth, and so quickly after his birth, he has killed Putana, who has tried to kill him. He has killed Trinavarta, who has tried to kill him. But when a child is very, very, very young, his relationship is simply with his mother first. And then that expands to his mother and his father. And then as the child gains more facility, physical facility, mental facility for movement, the relationships that he has also expands. So Krishna, in his Naralila, he acted in this way also. So now Krishna is going to start to expand his relationships and perform other activities. Sastra, could you just open the door a little bit? And when Krishna performs these activities, they are specifically in relationship with the elders, the elderly gopas and gopis in Vrindavan, the cowherd boy, the cowherd men and the cowherd ladies of Vrindavan. And by expanding his activities, he's giving these other exalted personages an ability to relate with him and appreciate his qualities and characteristics in the attitude of Vatsalya Rasa, or maternal and paternal love. So let's hear. So these early childhood pastimes that we'll hear in this chapter, they are very much stimuli for Vatsalya love, Vatsalya prema. So in this text, kalena, vrajata, alpena. Alpa means what? Very little. So a kalena, after vrajata, after passing just a little amount of time, Gokule, in Gokul, Rama Keshava. Who is Rama? Balaram. And Keshava, that's Krishna. Janobhyam, by the strength of their knees. What's going to be described here? Janobhyam, the strength of their knees. Saha, panibhyam, resting on their hands, because Krishna has just been born, practically speaking, and some time has passed. So on his knees, resting on his hands, ringamano, crawling, vijaratu, they enjoyed wandering around in their childhood play. So they're starting to move around. Here is the translation. After a short time passed, both brothers, Rama and Krishna, began to crawl on the ground of Braja with the strength of their hands and knees, and just enjoy, and thus enjoy their childhood play. There are so many children, or perhaps every child, or more or less every child, when they gain a little strength after some time passes after their birth, within a few months, how long is it before a child, after taking birth, how many months before they start crawling? Do you remember? Huh? 5-6 months. So 3 months is when the Trinavarta Asura was killed. And then after a few more months, after just a short time, Krishna and Balaram began crawling on their knees, as if ordinary children. It's already been shown that Krishna can manifest all his strength at any time, but yet to give the elderly gopis and gopis pleasure, they just get enough ability to crawl on their knees and hands and enjoy. Here is Prabhupada's purport. One Brahmana devotee says, Shrutim apare smitamitare brataramanye brajantu bhavavita aham ihanandam vande yasyalinde param brahma. Let others, fearing material existence, worship the Vedas, the Vedic supplementary Puranas, and the Mahabharata. But I shall worship Nanda Maharaj, in whose courtyard the Supreme Brahman is crawling. What is the meaning of that text? What's the point of that? I worship Nanda Maharaj. Let others worship the Vedas, the Vedic, the Puranas, the Mahabharata, so many different scriptures, perform so many different religious functions. For what purpose? To gain release from material existence. Why do religious people wish to regain release from material existence? Yes, material existence means suffering. It's true. We try so hard to enjoy the material world, but the nature of material existence is unavoidably suffering. It's unavoidable. This is the most difficult point to actually accept. It's not how I've organized my life that causes suffering, and therefore the cure isn't me to rearrange my life and become better at this and push away that. No. Material existence itself, the very nature of material existence, causes suffering. And it is completely natural for a living entity, for everyone to wish to end their suffering. So when people become religious, go to a temple, go to a church, and perform some ritual activity, given charity, the purpose is usually self-centered, either to manipulate the material world to increase their enjoyment, or to remove some suffering, because the suffering exists. But here, this person is saying, let others do that. But I have a different concept. I have a different concept that is the goal of my worship. It is not to remove material existence, but I worship Nandamaraj. Why worship Nandamaraj? Because he is so fortunate that in his courtyard, the Supreme Brahman, the Absolute Truth, and again, when thinking about Krishna, it is required that we remember who Krishna is. I heard Prabhupada explaining in a lecture that if there is one aspect of Krishna's eternal pastimes, that when we say Krishna's lila is nitya or eternal in the material world, it is like, just like now it is 7:21 here. In 5 minutes from now, it will be 5 minutes later here. But somewhere else on this planet, the same time is existing, because the nature of the movement of the sun, even though it's not exactly calculated that way, usually they move the time zones by 2 hours or 3 hours or something. But practically speaking, each time exists continuously, because of the nature of the movement of the sun. And as the sun moves over each place, each time will exist. So Krishna's lila is all, each aspect of Krishna's lila is going on someplace at some time, because Krishna is continuously performing his pastimes in countless universes. So just imagine how many universes there are for that to be occurring. If every moment, every pastime is existing, and there are so many pastimes as Krishna progresses through his different days, each day, there are so many pastimes, and if each one of them is always going on, just imagine how many universes there are. And if we just can get a glimpse of how many universes there are, we can understand a glimpse of Krishna's potency. Because those unlimited universes are just mama angsa teja sambhava. They are just springing from a small portion of Krishna's potency. And yet, that all potent, supreme, absolute truth, God, the Parameshwara, the Param Brahman, look what he's doing. He's crawling through the courtyard of Nandamaraj just to give transcendental pleasure in the mood that Nandamaraj has, the mood of loving Krishna as a father loves the son. So just to give Nandamaraj pleasure, because when a child crawls around the parents, they see so much pleasure, they think it's so cute, and they get so much happiness. So to give that kind of happiness to the great devotee Nandamaraj, Krishna is crawling around in his courtyard. So what kind of a pious personality is Nandamaraj? Who can calculate what an exalted person he is, that his transcendental love has attracted Krishna to act in this way. So therefore, this devotee It's worshipping Nanda Maharaj. Never mind getting free from material existence. That's something to be obtained. But the pleasure that Nanda Maharaj is getting due to his exalted devotion is so far greater that I will forget about this lesser desire, desiring freedom from material existence. It's just that we worship Nanda Maharaj. We must remember who Krishna is, and only then will we understand the incredible significance of what he is doing. Prabhupada's purport continues. For a highly exalted devotee, Kaivalya, merging into the existence of the Supreme, appears no better than hell, Narakayate. Kaivalya, Narakayate. This is the other, another desire of a religionist who may not desire to enjoy something in the material world. He wants to end his material existence, but then he wants to become one with the Supreme. But for a devotee, he considers that no better than hell. Why is that? Because worse than hell is losing one's ability to serve Krishna in a loving way. That's how a devotee thinks. I'd rather suffer material existence in all its and my imperfections than merge with the Supreme, because I want to serve him. This is the nature of love. Never mind my own welfare. Let me please my beloved. Let me be able to offer service to my beloved. And without that ability, life is meaningless. So how exalted are the lovers of Krishna? They think that material, that going to merging with Krishna, no better than hell. Does anyone wish to go to hell? Why don't we like to go to hell? Temperature isn't good. There is a famous saying by Mark Twain. He was a bit of a rascal, but he said, heaven for climate, hell for association. Because he was thinking that people go to heaven, they're the most boring people in the world. But I don't want to go to hell because I've heard it's quite hot there and you can get really fried. Heaven for climate, hell for company, association. But this has nothing to do with such self-centered silliness. Prabhupada says, continues by saying, so we're just trying to get a glimpse of what to speak of, who Nanda Maharaj is. First we have to understand the devotees of Krishna, such as Nanda Maharaj, we first have to understand Krishna, who the Supreme Personality of Godhead is, and get a glimpse of his unlimited potency. Then when we understand that, then we can appreciate, and only then can we appreciate the position of, the exalted position of Nanda Maharaj. And then those who are worshipping Nanda Maharaj are next. Who understand this position, and even they see the absence of material miseries without the opportunity to serve Krishna as worse than hell. So we're getting a gradual glimpse by looking at it in this way, by the grace of Prabhupada's purport, what devotional service is. What sincere and pure devotional service is, how selfless and Krishna-centered it is, and how it produces the highest form of ecstasy that minimizes everything else. Moksha Laghudakrit Krishna Karshini Asubha Asubha Subhada Kleshamni. Removes all miseries, devotional service, even on the sadhana level. And
on the level of bhava bhakti, it minimizes liberation. And on the highest level of prema, it's Krishna Karshani. It attracts even Krishna, like Nandamai has attracted Krishna by the specific the depth and intensity of his love for Krishna. And then Prabhupada continues in a very interesting way. After saying about Kaivalya, it's no better than hell for an exalted devotee. But here one can simply think of the crawling of Krishna and Balaram in the courtyard of Nanda Maharaj, and always merged in transcendental happiness. So there is an indication that one can remember the pastimes of Krishna. One does that with great devotion, one will be always merged in transcendental happiness. If one wants to merge, there's no use in merging in Krishna, because one loses the ability to merge in transcendental happiness. So by thinking of Krishna and loving Krishna in the way that Nanda Maharaj does, and one can get the kind of pleasure that Nanda Maharaj does. Like, as long as one is absorbed in thoughts of Krishna Leela, especially Krishna's childhood pastime, as Prithvi Maharaj desires to be, one is always merged in actual Kaivalya. There's a oneness in that. Oneness. Therefore, Vyasadeva compiled Srimad Bhagavatam. So why did Vyasadeva compile Srimad Bhagavatam? Lokasya ajanato vidvan chakre satyajasam. Because the people do not know this. How wonderful it is. What transcendental happiness is available to remembering Krishna's childhood pastime in Vrajabhumi. So therefore, for that reason, Srila Vyasadeva compiled the Bhagavatam, because the Bhagavatam will teach one how to, who Krishna is, what our relationship with Krishna is, and how to always converge in the transcendental happiness of the Krishna. Vyasadeva compiled Srimad Bhagavatam under the instructions of Narada, so that anyone could take advantage of this literature. Think of Krishna's pastime and always be the devotee. And then Prabhupada quotes the same verse that he quoted in the beginning. Kim apare sitim sri sritim vitare bharatam manye vadantu bhagavita hamiya nandam. What is the meaning of that verse? The whole purport was about that verse. The meaning of that verse? Allow me, please. Yes. Let other people have their motives for worshipping the Supreme, work for their worship.
The problem? Palika. And the next verse. Tavangriyumam anukrisya sarisripantao gosha pragosha ruchiram vajakardameshu tannadarishta manasav anusrista lokam mugdha pravitavad upayator antimatro. Krishna and Balaram, with the strength of their legs, crawled in the muddy places created in Braja. What was the mud caused by? By cow dung and cow urine. Their crawling resembled the crawling of serpents, and the sound of their ankle bells was very charming. So we heard how they were crawling in the courtyard of Nanda Maharaj, but here is a further description of what they were doing. With the strength of the legs, they crawled in the muddy places created in Braja by cow dung and cow urine. Their crawling resembled the crawling of serpents, and the sounds of their ankle bells was very charming. Very much pleased by the sound of other people's ankle bells, they used to follow these people as if going to their mothers. So they were crawling and crawling, and then they'd hear some gopis, the ankle bells of some gopis walking. As the gopis were walking, the elderly gopis were walking, and Krishna and Balaram would crawl and follow them because they thought that they were their mothers. But when they saw that these were other people, they became afraid and returned to their real mothers, Yasoda and Rohini. So Krishna, the Sanskrit word is prabhatavat, as if afraid. So of course there is no fear in Krishna. It is not possible. What can Krishna be afraid of? He's the supreme, powerful, the all-powerful, omnipotent, omniscient. He knows everything. What is there for him to be afraid of? But what is the purpose of him acting as if afraid in this way, in such a cute and charming way? Because these type of charming little activities, they capture the heart of their mothers. Because they're following someone else, and then they see, oh, this isn't really my mother, and they go running to their mothers, and their mothers, they pick them up and embrace them, and their hearts, the mothers, Yasoda and Rohini's, their hearts become so melted at that, those times, due to their these little pastimes and the affection that the pastimes evoke. Here is Prabhupada's purport. When Krishna and Balaram were crawling about Brajabhumi, they were enchanted by the sound of ankle bells. Thus they sometimes followed other people who would enjoy the crawling of Krishna and Balaram and exclaim, oh, just see how Krishna and Balaram are crawling. Upon hearing this, Krishna and Balaram could understand that these were not their mothers they were following, and they would return to their actual mothers. Thus the crawling of Krishna and Balaram was enjoyed by the people of the neighborhood, as well as by Mother Yasoda and Rohini, and the two children themselves. These are the pastimes of Krishna and Balaram. And again, these are the pastimes to increase the vatsalya prema, the loving mood of the parental, especially the mothers. We'll read the purport, a commentary of Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur from the previous verse, 21, and then this 21. The verse was, after a short time passed, both brothers, Ram and Krishna, began to crawl on the ground of Braja with the strength of their hands and knees, and thus enjoy their childhood play. Here is Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur's comment, very short. Krishna's pastimes, mixed with Aishwarya, grandeur, such as killing Putana, and his Sudha Madhurya Leela, pure sweet pastimes, where, so that, what is the difference between Krishna's Aishwarya Leela and Sudha Madhurya Leela? One is full of grandeur and the other is just full of sweetness. And the example given of the pastimes full of grandeur was his killing Putana, because there was this little boy, but he exhibited pastimes that were completely beyond the capacity of a little boy. Through his pastime of killing Putana, through his pastimes of killing Trinavarta, and through later on his pastime of killing Bakasura, Agasura, Dhanukasura, so many demons, his lifting Govardhan Hill, his doing so many things. Due to those pastimes, which are Aishwarya Leela, Krishna manifests his opulence, his power. But these, such as Krishna's crawling, these are Sudha Madhurya, this pure sweetness. There's no manifestation of opulence. Now what does Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur say about this? So the Krishna's pastimes mixed with Aishwarya, such as killing Putana, and his Sudha Madhurya Leela, pure sweet pastimes, are both presented. Both are worthy of remembrance by Krishna's devotees. Both are worthy of remembrance. And then the next verse and the purport by Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. When Krishna and Balaram, with the strength of their legs, crawled in the muddy places created by Braja by cow dung and cow urine, their crawling resembled the crawling of serpents, and the sound of their ankle bells was very charming. Very much pleased by the sound of other people's ankle bells, they used to follow these people as if going to their mothers. But when they saw that these were other people, they became afraid and returned to their real mothers, Yasoda and Rohini. Vishwanath's commentary. Krishna and Balaram crawled about the courtyard on their hands and knees, and in a crooked way they moved through the dirt which was mixed with cow milk and cow urine. Their ankle bells tinkled pleasantly like the sound of kartals or like the voices of the gopis and gopas. The coward men became blissful upon hearing their jingling ankle bells. Sridhar Swami says Gosha means bells. When strangers came in the yard, the two boys, thinking that they were their mothers, would joyfully crawl after them. When they realized their mistake, the two brothers would suddenly become fearful and scamper back to their mothers. So how much pleasure is actually in these pastimes if one loves Krishna? And then there was one of the words in that 22nd verse was Mugdha Bitavad. Mugdha means enchanted or like bewildered. And Bitavad, afraid. The suffix vad is used to indicate that Krishna and Balaram were playing the part of ordinary children who make mistakes and experience fear. But in reality, they were not ordinary children. Any questions on anything so far? Then we'll read the 23rd verse. I'll just read the English. Dressed with muddy earth mixed with cow dung and cow urine, the babies looked very beautiful. And when they went to their mothers, both Yasoda and Rohini picked them up with great affection, embraced them, and allowed them to suck the milk flowing from their breasts. While sucking the breast, the babies smiled, and their small teeth were visible. Their mothers, upon seeing these beautiful teeth, enjoyed great transcendental bliss. Here's Prabhupada's purport. As the mothers cared for their respective babies, by the arrangement of Yogamaya, the babies thought, here is my mother. And the mothers thought, here is my son. Because of affection, milk naturally flowed from the mother's breasts, and the babies drank it. When the mothers saw small teeth coming in, they would count them and be happy. And when the babies saw their mothers allowing them to drink their breast milk, the babies also felt transcendental pleasure. As this transcendental affection continued between Rohini and Balaram and Yasoda and Krishna, they all enjoyed transcendental bliss. For us, we say the words transcendental bliss very easily. It's so easy to say it. But exactly what transcendental bliss is, we cannot quite experience. Perhaps we can get a little glimpse of it. We can catch the fragrance of it now and then by Krishna's grace during a festival. When we are serving the deities, when we're chanting Krishna's names or doing some other service. But the residents of Vrindavan were continuously floating and diving in this ocean of transcendental bliss, of transcendental experience caused by their love for Krishna and Balaram. Here's the comment of Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. Mother Yasoda and Rohini felt tremendous joy upon lifting the two children in their arms. The two mothers took both children as their own. They're the source of everything. These two, Krishna and Balaram, they're the source of everything. Krishna is, he is the Sarvakarana Karanam, he is the source of everything, including Balaram, who is his expansion. But yet, due to the Krishna's potency of Yoga Maya, they were thought of. Mother Yasoda and Rohini thought of these lords as their own children, and therefore they experienced the greatest of all bliss. The two mothers took both children as their own. And the two children took both mothers as their own. Due to motherly affection, milk flowed freely from the breasts of Yasoda and Rohini. The dust on the bodies of Krishna and Balaram enchanted their beauty and attraction just like cosmetics. This is established by using the metaphor of Sundare Kim Na Sundaram. An ornament looks more beautiful on a beautiful person. Mouth, mukham, is in the singular because each mother concentrated upon the mouth of one child. The mothers derived great pleasure from seeing one or two small teeth in their innocent smiling mouths. So much pleasure was flowing. But unless there is love for Krishna, then no pleasure can flow, because this is the essence. Without bhakti, the pastimes don't mean anything. For a non-devotee, they can hear Krishna and Balarama doing this, Krishna and Balarama doing that, Vrindavan this, Vrindavan that, and then they'll think, what? Only, oh, these are stories, these are mythology. Or so what? So many children crawl about. So many children drink their mother's breast. So many mothers look in their children's mouth and see teeth coming. So what? What is special? But when one has devotion, especially if one has it in these moods, hearing these pastimes will allow one full access to the ecstasy experienced, the ecstatic experience that the residents of Vrindavan experience. So therefore, enwrapped in that type of ecstasy, the great devotees during the time of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, or great devotees at any time, they would just simply be fully satisfied hearing and chanting about Krishna, and they would be diving and swimming in the ocean of transcendental ecstasy. They would chant and chant and chant. They would, as we hear about the Goswamis of Vrindavan, they would just live under one tree or another tree, They would chant for chant and pay obeisances and not. They wouldn't eat, practically speaking. They wouldn't sleep. They would just be so absorbed. Go santa stav iti sarvato brajapure kadar mahavivalo. They would just be absorbed in the transcendental ecstasy of Krishna's dealings in Vrindavan. So we should know, although we can't imitate this, obviously, but we should know that such a consciousness actually exists. And this is the goal and the purpose of Krishna consciousness. And on a different level, I heard Prabhupada today, he defined Krishna consciousness as everything for Krishna. This is the basic, simple but basic definition of what love for Krishna or Krishna consciousness is. Everything for Krishna. Taking oneself out of the center of everything, because people in the material world, they think everything for me. And what is the result of that? Ata eva maya tari samsareta dukh. Repeated birth and death and assorted miseries. But everything for Krishna allows us to gradually or quickly attain this type of consciousness, where one's existence and one is merged in transcendental happiness. Within the house of Nanda Maharaj, the coward ladies would enjoy seeing the pastimes of the babies, Krishna, Rama and Krishna. Those who can relish the pastimes are, the numbers are increasing. At this point there are no coward boys because they're too young, because a child's relationship first with mother, then father, and then his family. But here, it's just starting to increase the number of people who can enjoy their rasa or relationship with Krishna. So within the house of Nanda Maharaj, the coward ladies would enjoy seeing the pastimes of the babies, Rama and Krishna. And the babies would catch, listen to this, they would catch the end of calves' tails. Now, for a boy, a young boy, now this is fun. And especially a naughty young boy, and there is no one naughtier than Krishna. The calves would be sitting down, and Krishna and Balaram would catch their tails. Now, when I read this, it sounded quite dangerous. I'm going to ask you, how isn't this dangerous? So please listen carefully. This is what Krishna would do. He would catch the end of the calves' tails, and the calves, what would happen if you caught the end of a calf's tail? Huh? The calf would become frightened, and then he would get up, and he would run, and then with the cat, the little baby's holding on to the tail. So what would happen? What do you think the baby would do? He would become frightened, or the young child, he would become frightened and then hold on tighter. And then what would happen? The calves would drag them here and there. Now where were they dragging them? Huh? In the dust of Braja. Now does that sound dangerous? For children, ordinary children to be doing this? What do you think, Shirato? Your parents probably wouldn't have minded. Another experience for the young lad. But just imagine, what would the mothers be thinking, and experienced mothers, if your children were doing that? You'd be so afraid. Yes? No? Yes. But the dust of Braja must have been so soft to reciprocate the pleasure of Krishna and Balaram, and the dust of Braja was covering Krishna and Balaram. So they would be dragged here and there. And when the ladies saw these pastimes, they certainly stopped their household activities and laughed and enjoyed the incidents. So everyone was enjoying all the... There was such a community. This is so different from living in the suburbs in some western city where you don't even know the name of the person next door. And what this, if you ever, you just politely every once in a while, if at all, you say hello to them. But you don't know anything about anyone. No sense of community. Everyone is so lonely. But you grew up in a village, yes? Everyone knew everyone. Everyone knew, and all the children used to play together, and everyone was like the mother and father, all the adults. The children grew up with such affection, everyone pouring so much affection upon them, everyone there. You have your house, you have your family, you don't even come out of your house, because why come out of your house? Because you have such an internet connection that there's no need to ever come out of your house. You don't even need to talk to anyone. You can send them an email, even your neighbors. Even in Vrindavan, I notice this amongst the devotees. They just send each, even who are living right there, they send each other emails instead of, because no one ever sees each other, because everyone spends so much time on the computer. So everyone just, in this type of technological society, everyone just gets lonelier and lonelier and lonelier and lonelier. But this was a community, and everyone in the community of Cowherd Men and Cowherd Ladies, everyone in the Cowherd community was beginning to notice that Krishna is here. And naturally, because loving Krishna is the natural consciousness of every living entity, so naturally Krishna's pastimes are so charming too, and his ways of dealings are so charming, that they evoked so much love and affection from everyone. And these people who are there, they're not just ordinary people. These are the greatest of devotees who have taken their birth, not taken their birth, but they're in Braja dealing with Krishna due to their extraordinary and full devotion for Krishna. So when the ladies saw these pastimes, they certainly stopped their household activities and laughed and enjoyed the incidents. Their hearts were overflowing with love for Krishna. Here's Prabhupada's short purport. While crawling in curiosity, because they were very, very, very curious, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was also very curious as a baby. He would crawl throughout his courtyard, and sometimes he would grab snakes, and sometimes he would just wander out. He was fearless also. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would wander out, and all the people in the village, in the neighborhood where Mahaprabhu was, Mahaprabhu would see some food and say, "Give me some food." And there's naturally, adults get much pleasure from feeding children. They get so much pleasure. So the children would wander around, everyone would feed them. So much exchange of affection. What to speak of the object of that affection, and was the Supreme Lord, Mahaprabhu, or Nittai, or Krishna and Balaram. So while crawling in curiosity, Krishna and Balaram would sometimes catch the ends of the tails of calves. The calves, feeling that someone had caught them, would begin to flee here and there. And the babies would hold on very tightly, being afraid of how the calves were moving. The calves, seeing that the babies were holding them tightly, would also become afraid. And the ladies would come to rescue the babies and gladly laugh. That was their enjoyment. So these interchanges just produced so much ecstasy within all the residents of Vrindavan. Here is the comment of Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur. Text 24. As Krishna and Balaram grew in size and beauty and performed their childhood pastimes, the Kumara Lila, they became very attractive to all the ladies. The women of Braja became blissful upon seeing the boys enjoying their pastimes. What pranks did the divine brothers perform? Sometimes Krishna and Balaram would grab the tails of calves lying on the ground. Startled, the calves would jump up and run away while dragging the boys along the ground behind them. When I first read this, I thought, oh, it sounds so dangerous. Perhaps the boys were standing up and getting pulled, dragged around, meaning they were standing up and getting dragged. I've seen boys in Gita Nagari when I was staying in the farm community. Sometimes the young Gurukula boys would hold on to the tails of the calves and get dragged. But they would be standing up and it was like what? Yeah, something like that. They would get dragged. But so I thought maybe it was like that and it wouldn't be so dangerous. But then I read later that Krishna and Balaram hadn't started walking yet. So they were being actually dragged in this way. So quite astounding. So Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur continues. They were dragging the boys along the ground behind them. Instead of letting go, the boys would clutch their tails even more tightly out of fear, and they would begin crying. And when the child cries like that, the mother immediately comes running, and all the ladies had motherly affection towards Krishna and Balaram, even more than their own children. So when they would start crying, they'd all come running and rescue them. And that brings that protectiveness, brings such happiness, transcendental happiness to them. And they pick them up and rescue them. The gopis would then laugh and say to the boys, "You are weaker than these small calves still taking milk from their udder." They would tease them. "You're weaker even than them. They're pulling you around." They would tease them in that way. Then they would free their hands, Krishna and Balaram's hands, from the calves' tails. We'll read one more. And then Krishna and Balaram start walking in the next, in the verse in 26, but we'll read 25. When Mother Yasoda and Rohini were unable to protect the babies from calamities threatened by horned cows, by fire, by animals with claws and teeth such as monkeys, dogs, and cats, because the boys were always so restless, they're running everywhere and they don't know what is dangerous, they don't know what is not dangerous. They go near the cows and the cows have horns, and the dogs have sharp teeth, and the cats have claws, and the monkeys can give trouble. And they could go near fire. So this type of protective spirit towards Krishna and Balaram, who are the all-powerful lords, brings such ecstatic maternal and paternal affection from the elderly mothers and fathers in gopas and gopis in Vrindavan. And they were always in anxiety about them. This is the nature of parents, to always be in anxiety about their children. And they were always in anxiety. And their household engagements were disturbed. At that time, they were fully equipoised in the transcendental ecstasy known as the distress of material affection, for this was aroused within their minds. It must be maternal affection. Or material affection, meaning similar, or apparently similar to the anxiety of the material world. So they were experiencing ecstasy, but with no love, there would be no anxiety. So due to their love for Krishna, they were in anxiety, and because it was love of Krishna, that anxiety was ecstasy, because it was based fully on love for Krishna. So they were fixed always by Krishna's pastime, they were fixed always in transcendental ecstasy. purport by Prabhupada. All these pastimes of Krishna and the great enjoyment exhibited by the mothers are transcendental. Nothing about them is material. They are described in the Brahma Samhita as Ananda Chinmaya Rasa. See how Prabhupada always must keep reminding us that these are transcendental activities. The activities between Krishna and his devotees and Braja, they have nothing to do with the material world, and they don't produce any material emotions. They're on such a high transcendental ecstatic platform. In the spiritual world, there is anxiety, there's crying, and there are other feelings similar to those of the material world. But because the reality of these feelings is in the transcendental world, of which this world is only an imitation, Mother Yasoda and Rohini enjoyed them transcendentally. This world is a reflection, a perverted reflection, as Prabhupada would say, of the spiritual world. Everything that exists here exists there in its reality, just like everything that exists in a mirror image exists in its reality in actual substance somewhere else outside of the mirror. So in the spiritual world, everything exists in its perfection and everything causes ecstasy. And in the material world, everything exists in its reflection, in the reflection, and everything causes misery. Here is Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur's short comment. Without scraping their knees on the ground, Krishna and Balaram were very naughty. Ati chalu. They are ati chalu. Because they wanted to play with horned creatures like bulls, creatures with sharp teeth like dogs, fire, knives, and birds, the mothers could not properly perform their household duties. They were always thinking, where is Krishna and Balaram now? Where is Krishna? What is Krishna doing now? Is he going to be in some kind of trouble? Who is he playing with? Oh, look out, there's a monkey over there. Oh, there may be some pots or some knives or maybe a dog or a bull. Oh, where is Krishna? Where is Krishna? Where is Krishna? Where is Krishna? Their minds were fully, only, and always absorbed in Krishna. Without content, one cannot think about the Supreme Lord continuously. There has to be content to the thoughts. So Krishna performs these activities in a perfect place, in Sri Vrindavan Dham, in a perfect way to give content and evoke the loving sentiments of his devotees, so his devotees can constantly be thinking, where is Krishna? What is Krishna doing? Nothing else but Krishna, the consciousness fully absorbed in Krishna. So look what Krishna is doing. And Prabhupada will explain this later, but look what Sukadeva Goswami is doing, and Vyasadeva and Prabhupada is doing. They're giving us the facility to become always absorbed in Krishna by presenting these literatures, these transcendental literatures. Thus their minds became disturbed because they were always thinking. They couldn't even perform the household duties. They're thinking, where is Krishna? Where is Krishna? This is a sanchari bhav that nourish the vatsalya ras, motherly love of the elderly gopis. So that's a technical term. Sanchari bhav is one of the elements of rasa. So it is one of the ingredients of spiritual ecstasy. It is not the anxiety of the material world. It is an ingredient of spiritual ecstasy. Okay. We'll stop here. Any questions or comments? Srimad Bhagavatam. Yes? Was that a question?
Wasn't it explained that the Bhairavi pastime are only performed in the material world of Krishna Khan?
Who explained that?
I think that was in Bhagavatam. Thank you very much. Wasn't it explained?
It's
particular child who passed on to mention Murali before I didn't know.
Particular childhood pastimes or all childhood pastimes?
Pastimes in general, not in the spiritual world. The baby pastimes, you should say.
Did he? Because I've heard some devotees say that, but I haven't. Maybe it's from Brihad Bhagavatamrita or something, I don't know. But I've never heard Prabhupada explain that. Then where are these those who have maternal affection for Krishna? Huh?
Where do they end up?
In the material world? But the general way, there may be a very intricate spiritual point connected with this, showing how all the rasas, they just support Madhurya Ras. There may be a very intricate, very, very, very detailed point in this, or a technical point, but the general understanding of the spiritual world is not that. The general understanding is that all the rasas exist there. That's the general. There may be some technical, but see, when one discusses a very technical point in a general setting, it makes the general point, which is the point that we're really meant to understand at this point in our spiritual life, it confuses. Because it's very hard for us, not very hard, it's impossible for us to understand what the spiritual world is like at this point. So technical points about what the spiritual life meant for when we're closer, perhaps. Now in our spiritual life, we are just cutting our first two teeth. So we have to eat soft food. We're still drinking mother's milk, spiritually. Any other questions or comments? Shiva Bhagavatam ki jai, Shiva Bhagavatam ki jai. Krishna's Vrindavan Leela ki jai.